Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hello, everybody. UCB Theater in Los Angeles. Hot crowd here for I Love Movies. Spelled I-L-O-V-E, movies, not I'll I. S-L-E movies. I love movies. I really do. That's the theme. Get it? I love movies. Hard and Firm theme song. I love that theme song, and I love that people have to listen to it over and over again. And this is the Halloween episode. But this is the thing I was discovering that I liked about this podcast occurred to me during the last show, and that is listening to people talk on what is essentially the radio without kooky sound effects and sound bites being plugged in by some dude whose job it is to do that after people say things. You know, like that. I just did it with my mouth because I'm a double threat. Comedian, mouth noisemaker, and... But I think that's cool. But now I'm also thinking it's fun to have a fart come in after somebody says something. So now I'm torn. I started off really thinking I was onto something, but maybe people love those noises. I'll try to do some noises during my opening joke. So it's Halloween week, which reminded me which reminded me that I like scary movies. And I saw War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise. I mean, we didn't go together. He's in it. And I don't know a noise to make when I'm talking about Tom Cruise. Yes! Or no, someone would hit something. You'd suddenly hear, "I feel the need." Like that would come on. And I didn't cut it off before the speed part. Lost all enthusiasm for making my own sound effects. So I saw War of the Worlds, and I just wanted to say that that movie scared me, not because it was a scary movie, but because the message was scary. The message of that movie, of course, is don't have kids, because they will slow your ass down if you need to run from an alien invasion. They're going to be like, I gotta pee. And you'll be like, you gotta run. You can pee when you're dead. My guest today on I Love Movies, is one of the writer performers from the classic, is it too soon to call it classic, sketch program Mr. Show on HBO, and now currently in reruns on, I believe, Comedy Central. He is the co-curator of the weekly live comedy show Comedy Death Ray, which can be seen every Tuesday night right here at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. Please welcome my buddy Scott Aukerman, everybody.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Scott Aukerman, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good, Scott Aukerman, everybody. I've added everybody to your name.
Hi, everybody.
So this particular episode that we are taping right now, well in advance, is going to air Halloween week.
Oh, scary.
Oh, see, you're good at it, too. Yeah. So I'd like to start with the following question.
Sure.
What's your favorite flower? Little twister-oony there. No, what are some of the horror movies that you like?
I really like Dawn of the Dead.
Ooh, yes.
Both versions, actually.
Me too.
I love the new version.
Me too, and I'm upset that people are mad at the new version.
Yeah, I don't know why people are mad at it.
Tarantino and Rodriguez, I think,
are mad
at the new Dawn of the Dead.
You know what's weird is I do think that...
How do you make four rooms and get mad at anything?
How do you make two rooms and get mad at anything? Any number of rooms. No, I think even 20 years ago, remaking movies was really common. Because if you look at movies of like the 30s, they would remake movies 2 years later.
Oh, every other movie was Mildred Pierce.
Yeah, or the Ghostbreakers, you know? But
my example, I was trying to be stupid. But you had a real one.
I don't know what Mildred Pierce is. Maybe
just
that's why.
Some Betty Davis movie or Joan Crawford or some shithead. I like calling those old classic actresses shithead.
My shit's blowing up, you.
Oh, Joan Fontaine. What a shithead. Oh, man. Did you see her in Gone with the Wind?
What a shithead.
What a fucking shithead. Oh my God!
What is it? Is that implying?
Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity, shithead.
What I like about it, is it implying that like her character is a shithead or just her?
Judy Garland's a shithead. She's probably actually closer to being a shithead than those other examples. Because she was kind of drunk or whatever. So you could call her a shithead. Paul Newman, what a shithead. Well, now I'm switching over.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Into distinguished older gentlemen.
People. Oh, what are you looking in the book for?
Just coming up with names. Oh, Willem Dafoe, what a shithead.
Is that really?
Willem Dafoe is such a shithead.
The next half hour is just you reading every name in the book. Shithead.
Would you laugh if you pulled up on a car and had a bumper sticker that said Willem Dafoe? Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Yes. I would like honk the horn and ask him to pull over and say, what is the story behind it?
You'd think it was a teaser advert for, you heard me, advert. For a movie called The Shitheads.
Yes.
And there's several bumper stickers that say each cast member is a shithead.
Yeah. Jane Curtin is a shithead.
Wait for years for shitheads to come out. And you'd be like, whatever happened to that shithead Willem Dafoe movie? And people would go, no, he's just not liked.
He's just a shithead.
There was mass produced Willem Dafoe as a shithead. But also, for me, it'd be a way to get it out there. It's nails on a chalkboard when someone says Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
It makes me so unhappy. So maybe if I put it on my car, more people would calling him Willem.
It's because you said it once a long time ago and you hate yourself.
I don't think I ever got that one wrong, but I have gotten names wrong.
Really? Like what?
You know, where you really, with all the confidence in the world, you say a name in front of somebody, and then it's totally wrong. Or you're either pronouncing it wrong or you're saying the wrong person.
Oh, remember that argument we got into? About the word and how it was pronounced. They said it on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What word was it?
It was integral, which they were saying...
They said integral.
Integral.
Right.
And you...
I was like, it's integral, bitch.
You were like, why are they keep repeating the word integral? Because they said it three times on the show.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it can be pronounced both ways. And you said, no, it cannot!
Not... But by pronouncing it both ways, you mean gays are allowed to say it. Yes.
Yes. But then I sent you a dictionary listing that proved it could be said both ways, and you got really mad at me over the phone. And you said, not
I
in
got
my
mad
dictionary.
At you. Yeah, not in my dictionary. Yeah. Not in my Leonard Maltin book. It doesn't say that.
Very upset.
Yeah, well, I wasn't smoking pot back then, so that could have had something to do
you
with it.
You weren't smoking pot back then? I swear you were.
Yeah, I was probably very high at the time.
Oh, do we have to say that for legal reasons?
Yeah, for legal reasons.
Okay, no, you weren't smoking pot at all.
No, we don't have to say that.
When did you start?
Smoking pot? When I was 27.
So should I say how many years ago that is? No.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long... So, yeah, we've only known each other for...
No, I definitely was...
You were smoking
I may not have smoked pot and called you up and yelled at you about Integral and how that's how... It's like, I've had people yell at me about coupon and coupon.
Right.
And,
why? What do you say?
I don't care either way.
Oh, yeah.
But Integral, I have very strong feelings about.
Very strong.
I think it's...
Tell my ear hole that.
I think it's integral to the use of the word to pronounce it that way.
We actually, on Mr. Show... Dino doing a voiceover said integral, which is a big pet peeve of mine.
Right.
Integral, because people say that all the time. And he said it on a voiceover, and I pointed it out, and he was like, I don't care. And so it's there in the show forever, and it bugs me every time I hear it.
But couldn't it be, like, construed as funny mispronunciation?
No, because I think he was supposed to be an intelligent person saying the word. Integral. An integral part. I hate it.
Integral.
And that's why I think on Buffy they were saying integral.
Because it's easier to say?
They all, in their lives, they probably were saying integral all the time. And then someone's like, hey, you're mispronouncing it. You can't say it.
It's
so they're
integral.
Like, can I just say integral?
So now you're saying that it probably is the much lesser preferred pronunciation. It's just for idiots to use.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Doug.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good. I feel some closure. All these years, I really kept a lot bottled in about our
you did.
Integral argument.
Obviously, it was me. You didn't even remember it.
I mean, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
Say integral from now on.
Yes.
I'm going to fucking run the other way with it.
Do it. Let's start an integral
you pass
club.
You passed me the ball. I'm taking
someone
it.
Someone whispering
did
to
did the
us?
Entire audience leave? Is that what happened? That was just a really boring section.
Sorry.
We really stank it up with the... Maybe they have strong feelings about integral.
I guess so. Or maybe they
don't
have
know
strong feelings
have.
We should move on.
Well, that just brings me to an interesting point. Did you ever see the movie Integral?
Integral?
They could never name a movie that because
yeah,
then everyone would mispronounce
everyone,
it.
Yeah.
I was shocked that they called that NASCAR movie Talladega Nights.
Yeah, that is one that I kept going around saying Talladega. and Talladegar.
You sound like a five-year-old when you say it.
Alligator. Why do I sound like a five-year-old?
It sounds like a five-year-old mispronouncing something.
Alligator.
Yeah. It sounds like he's trying to say alligator. Alligator.
I was bit by a Talladega.
Still too soon after Steve Irwin.
Oh, Steve, they're not going
to
broadcast
to make
that footage,
jokes.
Doug. Not going to broadcast it.
I'm glad they're not going to broadcast it. Do you want to see it?
You know, once, remember that big freeway shooting where the guy pulled his car over and set fire to his car and his dog and ran out and blew his head off with a shotgun and it was all on the news?
Yeah.
I was at the office that day and didn't get a chance to see it. And so we were we were working on the show at the time and we were like, hey, we have friends who can get that footage and we got it. And I don't want to see stuff like that ever again. It was horrible.
You looked at that one.
Yeah. We watched it. We were like, ah, this is going to be great. Guy blowing his head off. And he did it, and it was bummer time.
Yeah, because it's really violent, and it's also a person just blew his own head off. Mm-hmm. You don't get that.
As
I'm just watching
a
movie.
Violence, it's a guy blowing his head off.
Yeah, but you don't get that I'm watching a movie thing that you get to feel.
Yeah, in a movie when they blow people's heads off, like that great scene with Willem H. Macy in Boogie Nights, where he takes out the gun and goes, boom, bloosh.
Right.
Like the brains always look so great.
Yeah.
They look awesome. But when,
almost edible.
Yeah. But when a guy does it for realsies, I don't know. What
is there, less blood or something? Or
I don't...
I think it makes it not awesome.
I think, first of all, I think we were more bummed out about the setting on fire stuff.
Yeah, I don't,
than anything. That's great. Have you ever seen any of those Faces of Death things?
I've seen guys running on fire footage.
And I never like it. But did you ever see that one footage of the guy jumping out of the plane and his chute doesn't open?
This was awesome.
And he has a camera on him because he was taping himself jump out of the plane. He starts going, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And then he hits the ground and lives. He hits the ground. Nothing's wrong with him. And he's like, well, I'm alive. I'm alive. He starts going, oh, I'm alive. And he like jumps up and he's like, yay, I'm alive. And he was perfectly fine. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
I was hoping there was some more of a twist at the end.
No.
Then a dog set him on fire.
Oh, yeah. At Fisherman's Wharf.
Well, we're going back to last week's show.
Yeah.
Last week was a great show, by
the way.
Oh,
it was amazing. Mike Blyden, the energy, the fire.
That's his nickname, the energy, the fire. Yeah. It's Michael, kind of a weird nickname. I mean, it kind of takes the energy and fire out of you just having to say both.
I like it. Usually people don't have nicknames like that. Like the people have nicknames like the Bammer or something. That's Maria Bamford.
Right.
But to have Michael, the energy, the fire, Blyden.
I like it. Because you can go... What's up, T-E-T-F? And I would have to take that long to think of it every time. So it'd be like...
You could just say TEDIF.
When he's walking towards me, I'll just like go into a white panic.
Hey, what's
up? Fuck. Hey, the energy, the fire. Then you have to say the whole thing after you couldn't get the initials right.
I am hoping, actually...
Here comes fucking here comes the energy.
I'm hoping that it sticks and gets in your movie somehow now. To where in the credits he's the energy.
Well, that'd be...
The fire.
That'd just be a great card on a movie directed by Michael, the energy, the fire, Blyden.
Hey, you know what card I saw on a movie that I've never seen?
It sounds like he's... You'll remember. Go ahead.
I saw a card in Jackass number 2 I've never seen in a movie before, which was beer provided by... I don't think there's ever been a movie that has had that.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
No. Can you think of one? Other than Strange Brew, maybe?
Right, or Artie Lang's Beer Fest. Or Beer League.
Beer Lake?
Beer. Artie Lang's Beer Lake. Hey. What happens is he lives in a house on the lake, and he puts a beer in the mailbox.
Right.
And a girl gets her beer
2 years
later, but it's full of vomit.
Really?
Yeah, there's no beer in the can. It's just a can full of vomit.
That's a good prank. Artie Lang's a genius.
Oh, Beer House. No, he has a movie called Artie Lang's Beer League.
League. Oh, okay.
League. And there's also a Beer Fest by the Broken Lizard guys.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Those posters were out a while ago. I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, the posters were out, but the awareness was low.
Mm-hmm.
So you just look at the poster and go, I refuse to be aware of this.
The poster actually looked like a beer poster, which I think was to its detriment.
What are you looking at? Mm. The time? I'm checking the time. I keep a, you know, close watch on that time of mine. According to IMDb.
Yes, sir.
You played a character called Mr. Hollywood Pants in something called That Darn Punk.
Yes, one of my many film roles, Mr. Hollywood Pants.
Is that, that's a Vandals thing?
Yeah, my friend Joe Escalante, who's the morning person on Indy 103, is also in a punk band and also makes movies. And we're old friends, and he asked me to be in a couple.
He makes films, and what does he do? Does he sell them as shows, or do they just go to video or fan club?
Well, you know, he owns his own label, so he puts them out through the label, and then he also creates a soundtrack for them. And sometimes the soundtrack, they sell them both, so you buy the movie and the soundtrack. So if you're interested in the soundtrack, you also get the movie for free and vice versa. And usually the soundtrack version does way better, but they get the movie for free, and it counts towards, you know, how many he's sold.
Right, so he's moving some units.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then a few years later, you reunited with them.
That's right.
To appear in
Felt
Cake,
so good.
Cake Boy.
Cake Boy, yeah, which is actually not a bad movie. I mean, it's a bad movie, but it's
not bad at all for a really bad. No,
it's funny, but you know, who else is in? Patton's in that, and Brian Posehn and Bob Odenkirk, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun people.
Yeah, it's not bad. My friend Warren wrote this. I get this all the time. I get people saying, "Hey, do you want to read my script?" And he was one of those people, and I was like, "Oh, just really bumming." That a good friend, I had to tell him that a script sucked.
Right, right.
But it was really funny, so.
Well, it's nice of you to assume your good friend wrote a shitty script.
Yeah. Well, he's not a writer. He's a guitarist.
No,
for a band.
He wouldn't know how to use, like, the word integral, for instance.
Good callback.
But my favorite Scott Aukerman movie role.
Yes.
Young Nigel in Austin Powers in Goldmember.
That's right.
Oh, Behave.
You were at the premiere of that, were you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were the only person who could point me out in the movie.
What do you mean?
Well, everyone else who went to see me in it was like, where were you? Were you cut out? But you actually were like, no, he was...
He was Michael Caine, young Michael Caine, with his back to the camera mostly?
Or? Yeah, that I auditioned for it, and I had a scene.
You had a sweet-ass Michael Caine impression.
Right, and then I went to the set, and I met Jay and Mike Myers, and they were rehearsing that scene where he does the leg splits or whatever. And I met them and talked to them for a while, and they were like, all right, well, so let's take a look to see if you're right for this role. I was like, oh, I thought I had it right. They go, turn around. And I turned around with my back to them. They go, perfect. Right. All right, you're cast. And that was when I found out that I would have my back to the camera the entire movie. And never get to say anything.
Well, yeah, an entire movie is kind of a stretch. It's about
I was in
seconds.
all 2 hours of that movie with my back to the camera. I'm talking about me.
Why is that character always around with his back to the camera? And in some scenes, there's the version of him with his back to the camera and one that's talking straight to the other characters.
Because what?
That's
what,
bizarre that there's always a Michael Caine double in every shot.
What ended up happening was they ended up using a clip from an old Michael Caine movie of the 60s.
Right.
And for the front shots...
I'd guess Pulp, if I had to guess.
Hmm. You don't have to. And
well, it's good that I don't have to, because that could have been wrong.
You very well could have. Look it up in the Malton.
Why would it be in the Malton? Pulp would be in the Malton, because it's an old Michael Caine movie.
So look it up.
Would say, in the future, a clip was used.
Fun fact.
In Goldmember.
Yes, why not?
The original title of which was Octotwat.
Oh, that's right. What was it? It was...
something dirtier.
It was Octo...
Octo Vagina.
Gold Pussy, maybe?
Golden Pussy?
Golden Pussy?
Something.
I don't remember.
Something they couldn't get away with. But Goldmember was fine.
Yeah.
The MPAA.
But you know what was cool about that movie was Jay was so nice. He was like the most beloved man of anyone on any set I've ever been on. Like
Jay Roach, director.
Yeah, every single person rhapsodized about him. And I found out why, because I'm in this basically shit role as an extra, practically. But he keeps on asking me for opinions on how to shoot the scene and for stuff to happen in the scene.
What about, did he ask you for opinions on how to fuck Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles?
I wish, because I would have.
Because that's his lady.
Yeah.
That's why I like him.
Yeah.
His movies, not so much, but I like that he's married.
You don't
to
like
her.
His movies?
Meet the Fockers?
Yeah.
Mm.
I did.
It's not my thing.
I did a day of punch up on that.
Yeah.
And
did you write the cat scene?
No, I did not. Actually, what's funny is I went to the movie to see what was what made it, and zero.
Oh, all the stuff you came up with in
Yeah, 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 0%.
They were careful not to have too many jokes in that movie.
What's weird is I got the script and I was like, boy, this needs a lot of work. And so our punch-up session, like, we didn't actually pitch a lot of jokes. We were just talking about the script and why it didn't work.
Right.
And he was like, wow, this is really great. I usually hate punch-up sessions, but this has been really informative. Thank you so much. And then I went to see the movie, and it was exactly the same. And the audience loved it, so what do
this
I know?
This punch-up session taught me that we have perfection, and there's no reason to fuck with it.
The other thing he did at the punch-up session was, it was the first time I'd seen him since Austin Powers, and I'm thinking, he's not going to remember me. And... he walks in the room and goes, hey, I remember you. And I'm stoked. And we do the entire 8-hour punch-up session. And at the end, he says, all right, man, so maybe I'll see you again, you know. And he mimes playing basketball. And he thought I was some dude he
Right, some guy he plays basketball with.
Yeah.
Or your performance is Michael Caine's back.
Was very
slam dunk.
I would...
You fucking always nail it.
I went very gay.
It was either very gay or a slam dunk, yeah. Will that make sense on the podcast without seeing the gesture?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
I described it very well.
Because you can't tell the aristocrats joke on a podcast.
Right.
Because you can't do this at the end. Whatever Drew Carey did with his arm, you can't do it. Let's play Leonard Maltin.
Let's do it. You want me to pick?
Let me check the time. By my count, we've got 8 minutes to play Leonard Maltin.
That's a long time.
Be a little too long for Leonard Maltin.
Do you want to talk about anything else?
Yeah, tell me what happened. Tell me. Give me the behind-the-scenes gossip.
Oh, of what?
On Shark Tale.
Shark Tale, a movie I co-wrote.
Yeah.
Although,
no, not credited.
I'm credited as additional writer.
Oh, okay.
But
it didn't come up on your IMDb today.
IMDb does not allow that credit in it. I don't know
what?
Why. I've actually tried to put it in because every time you go take a meeting with anyone, they to get to know who you are before you come in, they look up your IMDb page. So I've tried to put it on there so they don't think I'm lying or whatever.
Right.
Because I bring it up all the time. But they won't take it. I don't know why, because it's not an official WGA credit, maybe.
Huh.
Additional writer. Because
it's weird. They take anything anybody submits.
No, but
part.
I've tried to submit it a couple times. But yeah, Shark Tale was really interesting because I got to know Jeffrey Katzenberg really well, who is a crazy little man who talks like this all the time. And he used to call me and BJ the two fuckers. He'd go, "Those two fuckers! Get over here!" But he had these really...
And that's what he calls any pair of people.
That's true. Or his balls. Or his pair of dicks. These two fuckers.
Wait till you meet these two fuckers. I'm going to double dick you like you've never been double dicked.
And then I wanted to say like an actress's name at the end and I couldn't think of one fast
Barbara
enough.
Barbara Stanwyck. That shithead.
I'm going to double dick you, Barbara Stanwyck, you shithead.
Let's move on.
Oh, man, that shithead thing was so much fun. Willem Dafoe is a shithead. I swear, that's such a great bumper sticker. He'd laugh, right?
You should really make them now. You should really make them, and you should sell them and see
how popular they are. Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
And hopefully
hopefully
you would see him at some point.
Why?
He'd be like, "Why do you have that?" Or hopefully, actually, you'd pass them out, and so many people would have them on their car, and you would hear stories about it.
Oh, shithead.
You're
I didn't like that movie, American Dreams. Did you see that?
Wait,
Cheney. He played the Cheney-like figure in American Dreams.
Oh,
Dreams
no.
With a Z.
What?
Forget it. Let's talk
Is
about
that the
movies.
American Idol one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that American Idol thing that got American Idol all wrong? And
right.
That's like the that's what the movie is like a satire about is American Idol, and they just don't. It's like they didn't watch American Idol to do it.
It's like the punchline of American Idol movies.
Yes.
And I don't mean punchline. I mean punchline
right.
The movie.
I know it's a tricky sentence to navigate, but
yeah.
You did it. Next time, if you ever say it again, it's like the punchline starring Tom Hanks of American Idol movies.
And Sally Field. You can't forget Sally Field.
You can't. People like her. They really, really like her.
They really do. Yeah.
Really. She's on that new show with Calista Flockhart. They don't get along, mother and daughter.
You're kidding.
They're at Tinterhooks or whatever that
word
is.
You know what movie I saw that's going to be out around this time? Is Borat.
It's going to be out while this is podcasting?
Yeah.
And did you like it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's going to kick
my
your...
My wife!
It'll kick
That's
your...
my Borat impression begins and ends with my wife. That's all I say.
Really good.
But I love saying it.
Yeah.
My wife! It's just fun when you're like just sitting around somewhere to just blurt it out.
You should just go and scream that out at the screen. People enjoy that kind of thing.
What does Borat say? My wife!
Call back from the previous
wife.
Show.
My wolf! Wolf!
My wolf!
Wolf!
My wolf.
Wolf. Do you think I should have said ball and chain?
Good stuff. All right, you ready to play?
Mm-hmm. Let's play Leonard Maltin.
1986.
1986 is the year.
Pops Staples?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would know it from that.
You would?
Yes, I would.
Just because it's such an unusual name, and it's a movie you like, and you
I've never
give
seen
me
the
more
movie.
Clues.
I've never seen this movie.
And you'd know it from Pop's
yes,
staples.
Yes.
All right.
Alex Elias. Elias. Alex Elias. I don't know. No one knows who that is. All right, let me move on.
Yeah.
Spalding Gray.
Spalding Gray. I'm just going to whisper the names back to you and go on.
Spalding Gray.
Spalding Gray.
Annie McEnroe. No?
I don't know who Annie McEnroe is.
Swoozy Kurtz.
Oh, Swoozy.
The Swooz.
The Swoozinator.
What a shithead.
The Swooz. The Swoostica.
Hey, that was going... Why'd you have to... Swoozy Kurtz and Spalding Gray. Keep going.
John Goodman.
Oh. John Goodman was... He's been in a few movies.
1986. Before his rise to fame, I would say.
Oh, that's what you'd say? Give me another name.
This one will give it away.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Whoa! John Goodman's second build, but it was before he was...
Uh-huh. This is his biggest role somebody? To date, as I recall.
Wow.
1986. What were you doing in 1986? Just starting
what
to smoke
pot?
What
wasn't I doing? Why is that a clue?
I don't know.
Give me the last name.
David Byrne.
Oh. What was that Talking Heads movie? True Stories.
There you go.
Shit, True Stories. Did anybody else know that?
Okay.
That was a really big part, but it was also kind of just a weird movie.
Pop Staples.
Did you like
sings
it?
In it.
Oh, Pop Staples is a singer that is in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
All right, give me another one. That was abysmal.
One?
We've got.
Sorry.
We've got 1 minute.
All right, I got one in mind.
Oh, good. No, that was a good one. I don't mind.
If the audience
stumped.
Is any indication, it was a great one.
I don't mind being stumped.
All right.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
1900
mm-hmm.
and 89.
God, I was hoping it was 1900 because I know most of the movies that came out.
It was a good year. That one of that train being
that,
chased by a hobo.
Did you see that futuristic movie that came out in 1900? 1901?
Which one? Futuropolis?
No, 1901.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, it came out in 1900. A lot of really on-the-money predictions in that movie. They had jetpacks. And, okay, go ahead.
All right.
1986 again?
89.
89, okay.
Ving Rhames.
Ooh, he's low on the list?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dave.
No, sir.
Fuck! That was a good guess, though, right? Dave?
Dave, okay. The Kevin Kline president
yeah.
movie in 1989?
I don't know what year Dave came out, but I know Ving Rhames was in it.
Sam Robards.
Okay, keep going.
Eric King.
There's always one that comes out of after a couple known names. You go, what?
Uh-huh.
Eric King was in that?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Thuy Thule.
Who?
Thuy Thule.
That sounds like a clue.
Okay.
It keep is. Going.
John Leguizamo.
Why didn't you go?
Thantha Guthamo.
John Leguizamo.
Continue?
No. Sam okay. Robards. Ving Rhames. Okay, keep going.
John C. Reilly.
Does it begin with the letter C?
It does. But you're looking at the book right now, so you.
Well, yeah, as I looked at it, but I already had a guess.
Okay.
Does it have the word casual in the title?
It does. Well, a variation of that word.
Casualties of War.
Correct.
Yeah,
hey,
right?
Doug.
Yeah. That was
the last
good.
Two are Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox.
Oh, well, that wasn't that good then. But, our Leguizamo always, you know.
Legs.
That's always a good clue for me.
Yeah. Leggy.
I think his name is the last name only if you're talking about the pest. He's always.
I remember
always
the pest.
Supporting roles. Where
that was
he
that had a lot of trailers
away.
For a long time. The pest. That was going to be.
They pushed
big,
it really hard. They thought it was going to be
breakout.
Like he was going to be the next Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Isn't that weird that John Leguizamo would be considered the next Jim Carrey?
Well,
like
someone tried to consider him as that, but you know, didn't work out. But he's doing a lot of great work. I love him. We're talking about
Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah.
He's amazing.
We could have totally just gone out on the high
on the
of Oh, on Shithead?
On Shithead.
10 minutes ago, we should have just quit?
Not 10, but like 5 minutes
whenever
ago.
It was?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we wanted to play the game because it's a fun game.
Yeah, always.
I want
leaves
to
them laughing.
All right. Hey, everybody. Let's give a warm whatever to my guest today, Mr. Scott Aukerman.
Thank you. That's why I do it, for all of this.
The dead weight of the team of Aukerman and P.J. Porter.
You mean Plojob?
Plojob Porter.
That will Porter. Not make sense to anyone now. Because it's
people
next
are
week.
Gonna...
It's next week.
Oh, well, now they have a reason to listen next week. They can tune in next week to find out what the hell that was about. Wow, that's fun. I never thought we could get cliffhangers into this
clue.
Thing.
What does blowjob mean?
It's exciting.
Mean?
It's like an Easter egg. But you just wait a whole week and then click on one thing. You don't have to search for it. Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying, goobers.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.